The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Wednesday, July 13, 2011, and Presidential Release number 396. This is the traditional after-convention release. The 2011 convention came to a close last Friday night, and a magnificent convention it was. I am sorry to have to tell you that at the convention we remembered some of the people who have died during the last year, and there are some who have died fairly recently. On June 27th, Gloria Evans of Massachusetts died. She was an officer in the state affiliate. She was First Lady to Al Evans when he was President of the National Federation of the Blind of Massachusetts. She has been a very long-time member of the Federation, and you should keep Gloria Evans and her family in your prayers. Shirley Lebowitz, who was President of our affiliate in Connecticut many years ago and who served, I think, briefly on the Board of Directors, died on June 15th, so you might keep Shirley Lebowitz and her family in your prayers. Another person, we mentioned him at the National Convention, this is James Worley. Kevin Worley's dad was in the Army. He was a longtime serving member of the Armed Forces. He served in a number of countries outside the United States. On May 18th, he died, and we remembered him as a veteran who had died not in the line of service, but who had given his life for the service, and then he died in May. And we remembered Kevin and also Kevin's mom, Darlene. So you might keep all of them in your prayers. I have an announcement here from Eddie Bell, who tells me that he is doing a survey. This is a rehabilitation employment survey, and he says it is intended for adults who are blind, visually impaired, or are of employment age. The purpose of the survey is to gain information about experiences that you have with vocational rehabilitation through your state services or rehabilitation counselor. The experiences with adjustment training, education, and employment. If you are blind, legally blind, visually impaired, if you are of employment age, 18 years old or older, you are invited to complete the survey. There are two ways to do the survey. One of them is to go onto a website. I have the website here, but its complexity makes it difficult for me to read it. I'll give you a try at it, and you can see whether you can find it. It says www.surveymonkey.com/s/25bx5y6, I think. Or, if you would prefer, you can take the survey by telephone, and you do that by calling 318-257-4554, or you can send an email. And it looks to me as though the email might be dseilhan@latech.edu. The survey shouldn't take more than 10 minutes. The responses will be kept confidential. It is entirely voluntary. For those who participate in this survey, you will be entered into a drawing. You will be eligible to win a $100 Visa gift card if you are successful in the drawing. So you can take 10 minutes to share your experiences about your rehabilitation. And if you send an email You should include your email address in case you should want to participate in future email surveys or surveys that can be had by phone. This from Edward Bell, Ph.D. of Louisiana Tech University. The Youth Slam is beginning this weekend. The plans are being made and the activity is going on at a great rate here. And so you can anticipate that the Youth Slam will be a part of the history of the National Federation of the Blind. It should start on Monday morning and we'll carry it on all of next week. And we're getting 150 kids in here and a bunch of teachers. It should be a lot of fun. You know, Lou Ann Blake was at this last convention. She works here at the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute, and Maurice Perret is a member of our chapter here. He works in the Baltimore area over at Blind Industries and Services of Maryland, and they have announced that their marriage will be taking place last Monday. So it took place, and congratulations to Lou Ann and Maurice. This convention was a great convention, as I said at the beginning. One of the things we talked about, and we talked about it a lot, was subminimum wages. There was a law adopted back in 1938 which said subminimum wages could be paid to people who were disabled. Then in 1973, there was a law adopted saying no discrimination on the basis of disability. And then in 1990, there was another law adopted saying no discrimination on the basis of disability. And there were employment portions in this last law which said, if you're employed, you cannot be the subject of discrimination. Although some people said the 1938 law was special, and because it was special, we're going to keep paying some people subminimum wages. We talked a lot about this because there is a new piece of legislation being proposed, and that is the reauthorization of the Rehabilitation Act, which is contained inside a thing called the Workforce Investment Act. And one section of that says that subminimum wages can be paid. It's never been in the Rehabilitation Act before, and now it is being put in there. Senator Harkin drafted this piece of legislation. He says that there ought to be protections for people receiving subminimum wages, but rather than bar them by a specific provision in the Rehabilitation Act, he has put in language saying, if you want to pay subminimum wages, this is how you do it. We have been fighting hard against this, and a lot of people say, yeah, but there are subminimum wages out there, so there should be protections for people. And I keep thinking to myself, why are there subminimum wages at all? Subminimum wages mean that the law says that disabled people are inferior. Well, the law says no discrimination. Let's go with that one. I like that one a lot better. So we spent a whole lot of time at convention talking about it, and you will hear a lot more about it. This reauthorization of the Rehabilitation Act does have this subminimum wage provision in it. We are trying to get it out of there. We are thinking to ourselves that if we cannot get along without this provision, then we don't need the reauthorization of the Workforce Investment Act. It's never been reauthorized all these years anyway. Why do we have to include a subminimum wage provision in its reauthorization? And so we've been fighting against it, and we will continue to fight against it. Our objective is to get rid of subminimum wages at all levels, all of the time, no matter what, no matter where. And so we said this repeatedly at the convention. We put together a petition, which we've faxed or sent in some fast way, maybe email, maybe by Western Union, I don't know precisely. But anyway, we had thousands of people sign it at the convention, and we've sent it to the Congress. We want this thing out of there. And so you'll hear more about that. And also, John Perret will be telling us about our progress in working with this piece of legislation as we go forward. Another thing we talked about at the convention was access to books, access to materials that are used for education. And we had a lot of different presentations about that. If there were two things that we did more than anything else at the convention, we talked about equal access to information, and we talked about the desirability to get rid of subminimum wages as fast as possible. One of the things that was presented at the convention was a demonstration of the Blio. This is the accessible book reader that is free to anybody who wants it, that is a computer program that goes on lots of different platforms. And here is Jim Gashel, a vice president of the KNFB Reading Technology Company, to tell you about it.
Thank you, Dr. Maurer, and greetings, fellow Federationists. Today I'm here to talk to you about Blio. And some of you may ask, what in the world is Blio? Well, if you do, we haven't done a very good job at getting the word out, so I'm going to try to remedy that today. In the March Monitor, we had an extensive article about Blio, so if you didn't read that, you may want to go back and do so. At the convention, I demonstrated Blio, and just in brief, Blio is an e-book reading system. E-books are electronic books, and book publishing is moving from books on paper to digital books. And all those books can be accessible books for those of us who can't read the standard ordinary print. So Blio is a means of getting at books in a way that we've never had before. You can get Blio for your PC by going to blio.com, that's B-L-I-O.com, and downloading the software from there. Once you run the program on your laptop or your notebook or your netbook or your desktop PC, you can go to the bookstore and buy books. You can go to our free books section and get books there. Over 3 million books in the free book section and 100,000 books or more in the bookstore. And I encourage people to hit the buy button often. Now, one of our goals with Blio is to be on lots of different computer technologies or platforms. And as of July 12, we achieved an important goal when Apple added Blio to its App Store. So this means that Blio is now available on what are called iOS devices. If you have one of them, you know what I'm talking about. An iOS device means an iPhone, an iPod Touch, or an iPad. And if you go to the App Store on one of those devices or through iTunes and search for Blio, B-L-I-O, Reader, that will bring up the download for Blio and explain what the program is. Incidentally, the software is free. So if you just tap on the free button, the software will install on your iOS device and you can be a Blio reader right away. One thing I need to point out about Blio on iOS devices is that from within the application itself running on your device, you cannot actually go to the bookstore. This is because Apple imposes a certain limitation on selling through applications, but you can go to the bookstore using your web browser, either on a personal computer, or on your iOS device using Safari, which is the web browser for that device, and you can purchase books, create an account and purchase books. And I'll tell you the URL for that. It is mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E dot Blio Reader, that's BLIOREADER.com. So if you just go to mobile.blioreader.com and create an account or log in with your existing Blio account, if you already have one, you can shop in the bookstore and buy books. When you have purchased a book or books, they go into your book vault or your archives, and they are available on up to 5 devices. They are available through Blio on your personal computer. They are available also on your Apple device. And once you launch the program, Blio, on your iOS device, it immediately syncs up to your library as soon as you have logged in. The login simply consists of your username, that is your email address, and the password that you use to create your account. And then we know who you are, and we provide you with your books on up to 5 devices. I'm going to quickly demonstrate Blio running on an iPhone 3GS, so hopefully you'll hear this okay on the recording. Let's open Blio.
Blio Library. 16 books.
Okay, I have 16 books in my library, and I'm going to try to find one particular book.
Singularity is near. Payback Time. Making Big Money is the Best Revenge by Phil Town.
Payback Time, Making Big Money is the Best Revenge by Phil Town. This is a book Dr. Maurer actually turned me on to, and I'm going to open that book right now. Simply double tap on the screen
one,
and the book opens. And now I'm in the book, and let's go to the table of contents.
Contents, button. Done.
Okay, now I'm in the table of contents, and I'll quickly go down through the chapters.
Chapter 5, chapter 2, Mutual, chapter 1, How the Wealthy Use Down to Go Up, 26.
Well, that sounds like an interesting chapter anyway. How the Wealthy Use Down to Go Up. I'll double tap on that one.
Page 20, Library Back.
Okay, and we can read every book with voiceover. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Book page. Image. How the Wealthy Use Down to Go Up. There are risks and costs to a program of action, but they are far less than the long-range risks and costs of comfortable inaction. John F. Kennedy. The best investment strategy I know is so counterintuitive, so shockingly upside. Capital T.
Going to turn the page.
Down. Such a crazy way of thinking about investing that hardly anyone who uses it wants to even try to explain it. It's not at all hard to do, but it is hard to explain. It just sounds so impossible. But smart investors do it all the time, and man, does it work. I mean, it really works. It's an I can do whatever I want the rest of my life kind of works. It works so well. It's the secret to the investing success of the best and richest investors in the world. Seriously.
Okay, so this is a way to make money. If you read this book, you should be joining the wealthier class. Now, I want to show you one really fun thing about this. Is I know this is reading a little slow for purposes of the recording, but I'm going to speed up the voice. So listen to this.
20%, 25%, 30%, 35%, 40%, 45%, 50%. I know that's 55%, 60%, 65%, 70%. I know that sounds like hype, but honestly, it's impossible to overstate the effectiveness of this strategy. It really is the basis of the biggest fortunes in the world, including those of quite a number of Forbes' World's Billionaires list. For example, number 3 is Carlos Slim Helu, the Mexican telecom entrepreneur who is worth $35 billion and is currently buying into cheap media, energy, and retail assets, including the New York Times. Using this strategy, Lakshmi Mittal, number 8, of India, created a $19 billion...
Okay, well, and that was only at 75%. If I put it up to 100%, I'm sure many of you could listen to it that fast as well. I like reading books on the iPhone. It's really a good portable device. I didn't have to buy any new technology. All I had to do was go to the Blio bookstore and pay $16.50, I think it was, for this book. And it's just wonderful, and so I feel like I have joined the ebook revolution with fully accessible books, and you can do so too on your iOS device if you have one, or if you get one. And again, that's the iPhone, the iPod Touch, or the iPad. By the way, if you would like to keep up with developments concerning Blio, I would invite you to send an email telling us that you would like to be added to our email list. And you can send that email directly to me. I'll make sure that you get on our list. Please send your request to be added to our mailing list to jim at KNFB Reader. That's KNFBReader.com. So again, the email address to be added to our mailing list about Blio developments is send your email to jim@knfbreader.com. Thank you, Dr. Maurer, and happy reading, fellow Federationists, with accessible books through Blio.
This brings me to the end of the presidential release, and Dick Davis of Minnesota says, how many ears did Davy Crockett have? Three, of course. The left ear, the right ear, and the wild frontier. Then Fred Schroeder says, I wanted to take a mandolin to dinner, but there were strings attached. Patricia Maurer says, if a pig loses its voice, is it disgruntled?
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.